This episode is provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant LinkedIn posts about AI and B2B marketing in calendar weeks 19 and 20. Frenis is a B2B market research company that supports enterprise marketing teams in unlocking the full potential of their customer data with the help of AI. You can find more info in the description.
All right, let's get right into it. We've got a lot of ground to cover today.
We really do. So welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Whether you are a seasoned CMO or an emerging GTM engineer, today's your playbook. We are distilling the top AI in B2B marketing trends that have basically taken over LinkedIn these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're cutting through all that vendor fluff.
Yeah.
We want to map out exactly how AI is rewiring the B2B marketing space right now. And I mean, we're looking at three core themes today, right?
Exactly.
We've got the evolution of AI visibility, so that shift from SEO to AEO. Then the whole reality check hitting AI SDRs and outbound motions. And finally, the rise of GTM agents and, well, moving to a system-centric architecture.
Okay, let's unpack this first one, the whole visibility game. Because frankly, the way buyers find you is just fundamentally fracturing right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's night and day.
Right. I mean, Connor Gillivan and Kieran Oliver both nailed the core of this shift recently. For like a decade, B2B marketers have just played the SEO game. You know, you optimize to get ranked in a list of 10 blue links.
Right, the classic Google page one hustle.
Exactly. But now we're moving to AEO answer engine optimization. And the thing with AEO is it doesn't rank you. It gets you recommended by the AI as the single best answer.
What's fascinating here is the psychological difference for the buyer. When you use traditional search, the burden of choice is still completely on you. You have to click the links, do the reading, synthesize the info.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
But when a buyer goes to a tool like ChatGPT or Perplexity, the AI does all that synthesis for them. It doesn't offer a menu. It offers a verdict.
A verdict. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And you're either embedded in that verdict or you just don't exist. There's no page two in an AI chat response.
But the verdict isn't universal. And I think that's what makes this so incredibly complex for marketers. Jason Grad actually shared some really wild data from Massive's new API about this.
Oh, yeah, the visibility checker.
Right. They built a visibility checker to see what different AI engines recommend. And he ran a search for the best AI SDR. So if a buyer asks ChatGPT, the model aggressively pushes tools like Regi and Clay.
Okay, makes sense.
But if that exact same buyer types the exact same prompt into Perplexity, it recommends Zoom Info and Agent Frank. So, I mean, how can the best answer be completely different depending on the platform?
Well, it comes down to how these specific models are trained, right? And what context they actually value. ChatGPT tends to weight its recommendations toward human augmentation narratives.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which aligns perfectly with how tools like Regi position themselves. But Perplexity, it's built heavily around live data retrieval and citations. So its underlying algorithms naturally favor platforms like ZoomInfo that process massive amounts of data.
So basically, your AEO strategy can't just be this one-size-fits-all blanket approach.
Exactly. Every single model has its own loyalties, essentially.
Okay, I hear the urgency there, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Because Amanda Pressner-Kruiser brought up a really compelling counterpoint to all this panic.
Right, about the new Google AI guide.
Yeah. Google just published their official guide on AI search, and they basically told marketers to calm down. They literally claim that optimizing for AI is just SEO. Like, if your content is good, our AI will find it.
Yeah, but Amanda pointed out the massive blind spot there.
Yeah, it's just SEO from Google's perspective. They're talking about their own AI overviews, which are still built on top of their traditional indexing infrastructure.
But buyers aren't just using Google anymore. That's the whole point.
Exactly. I mean, saying a library is the same as a personal shopper is just ridiculous. And Amanda shared a study from Ahrefs that totally refutes Google's claim. They looked at the overlap between Google's top 10 search results and what AI assistants like ChatGPT actually cite.
Do you remember the number? It was incredibly low.
It's only 11%.
Yeah.
Just 11% overlap. So you could spend like hundreds of thousands of dollars to rank number one on Google, and there is still an 89% chance that ChatGPT doesn't even know you exist.
Which is exactly why marketing teams are just scrambling to buy AEO software right now. But honestly, even that is creating all these new traps.
How so?
Well, Salim Malaf recently shared his experience testing HubSpot's new AEO tool. The tool acts like a mirror, so it shows you how different AI models describe your brand. But Salim issued this massive warning about how people are using it.
Oh, because of the prompt suggestion.
Yes. The tool suggests prompts that you should try to rank for. but they sound like old school, rigid keyword voices. They don't sound like natural conversational questions that a real human would actually type into a chatbot.
I see. So if you just blindly optimize for the tool suggestions, you're optimizing for what Selene calls synthetic demand.
Precisely. You end up polluting your own site with robotic content that answers questions no actual buyer is ever asking.
So what's the fix?
Selene says you have to bypass the software suggestions entirely. He pulls actual verbatim questions from human sales, call transcripts, and feeds those into his AEO strategy. Focus on real buyer language.
That focus on human context is so critical, and it goes deeper than just the words on a web page. Garrett Sussman shared this wild experiment that completely blew my mind.
Oh, the Gmail one.
Yes. So he seeded mentions of specific brands into personal Gmail accounts, meaning these brands were just casually discussed in private personal emails.
Right.
When he then used Google AI mode in that connected account to search for solutions, the recommendations for those specific brands shot up by 46 percentage points.
It is terrifying and brilliant. All at once. It proves AI isn't just crawling public blog posts. It's literally reading personal context.
Yeah, it's using the hidden context of a private inbox to shape its public recommendations.
It completely blurs the line between outbound email and inbound search visibility.
It really does. Before we move off visibility, though, let's just save our listeners some time and kill a couple of myths.
Please do.
Jim H. confirmed that adding an LLMs.txt file to your website does absolutely nothing. Google confirmed it doesn't work, and server logs show no major bots are even looking for it.
Thank you. And Zach Perrix reminded the community about EEAT. You know, experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Marketers treat it like a magic ranking factor or code they can hack.
Right, just slap a bio on the page and you're good.
Exactly, but it's not a magic hack. It's a quality framework used by human raters. You can't trick an AI into thinking you're authoritative just by changing your page structure.
So true. Okay, so if AEO means buyers are getting single answer recommendations, traditional top-of-funnel inbound traffic is naturally going to plummet.
Yep, the volume just vanishes.
And when marketers see inbound drop, they panic. They try to make up for that lost pipeline by just forcing demand through massive outbound email campaigns, which smoothly brings us to our second theme, the reality check hitting AI outbound and the SDR function.
And this is where the tension between scale and spam really explodes. SubmitN reported a staggering stat. 47% of AI SDR rollouts collapse completely within their first 90 days.
Wait, almost half? Why?
The cause of death is almost always domain reputation. An AI outreach tool removes all the friction of researching and typing. So a team that used to send 50 careful emails a day is suddenly blasting out 800 automated ones.
Oh no, that's a red flag.
Huge one. Microsoft 365, which hosts like 60% of all B2B inboxes, monitors these sending patterns. When their algorithms see an unnatural vertical spike in email volume, they instantly flag it as non-human behavior.
They bounce the emails?
They silently route your entire company's domain straight to the junk folder. Your dashboard says delivered, but no human ever sees it.
Wow. And Eddie Reynolds actually brought the receipts on this exact phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
He noted that right now, per rep outbound volume is up 6x across the industry, but reply rates have simultaneously dropped 38%.
We are literally automating a mess just to get ignored faster.
Exactly. We're burning our domains to the ground. Eddie's point is that outbound still works, but only if you have a rigorous human process first. You need a specific ideal customer profile, tightly segmented lists, and human inspection.
Yeah, only after that foundation is flawless can you layer AI on top for scale. Because there's a massive danger in thinking AI can handle the human element of persuasion.
Oh, absolutely. Kapildev Aromozi shared a crazy story about a SaaS company that tried to go all in on this. They replaced 10 human SDRs with 20 AI agents.
And let me guess, it looked great on paper.
Oh, it was a miracle on paper. Response times dropped from hours to seconds, outreach volume exploded, but the moment a deal got emotional or political, the system completely broke.
Because B2B buying is inherently emotional. When a buyer is facing internal budget uncertainty or political risk, the AI can't read the subtext. It just keeps spitting out feature benefits.
Right. Buyers instantly recognize the robotic patterns, trust evaporated, and deals stalled. And Morgan J. Ingram warned about the long-term fallout here.
The farm system, right? Yeah.
Yes. Cutting SDRs to save money destroys the farm system for future revenue leaders. Your future VP of sales is currently a 23-year-old SDR learning how to handle rejection and build empathy on cold calls. You can't promote a bot to VP in 10 years.
That is such a crucial point. So if fully automating the seat is a trap, how are the best teams actually using this tech?
Prabhav Jain and Brendan Short laid out the winning playbook here.
Okay, what's the way?
Well, calling it an AI SDR is actually the problem because it implies replacing a seat. The best teams use AI strictly as an execution layer for the 70% of non-selling work.
So the busy work, deep account research, CRM updates, that kind of thing.
Exactly, which frees up the humans to spend all their time actually selling.
Kyle Poyar shared an AI native play that perfectly illustrates this. He uses Claude not to blast net new leads, but to continuously monitor closed lost deals in the CRM.
Oh, I like that.
Right. The AI tracks intent signals like leadership changes at target accounts. Then it analyzes the old call transcripts to find the exact objection that killed the deal back then. And then it drafts the email.
Yes, it auto-drafts a hyper-relevant re-engagement email, but, and this is key, it does not hit send. It routes it to a human rep for review.
That is brilliant. Another great use case came from Maja Voje. She talked about OneMind's ride-along superhuman.
Oh, the AI sales engineer.
Yeah, it's an AI that acts as a sales engineer on live Zoom calls. It literally joins the meeting, listens and answers technical Q&A live in the chat, strictly tethered to the company's own documentation so it doesn't hallucinate.
It totally removes the bottleneck of waiting 2 weeks for a human SE to be available. The AE can just focus on strategy. But, you know, executing these advanced plays like AI monitoring intent signals or joining Zoom call that requires a totally different technological foundation.
You can't just plug that into a 10-year-old email tool.
Exactly. Which brings us to our final theme, GTM agents and the system-centric architecture. What does this all mean for the marketing tech stack?
Well, Sandeep Gulati introduced a great framework for this. He argued that most teams don't actually have an AI problem. They have a workflow problem disguised as a tool problem.
Ah, so they buy a $30 license, hand it to their team, and expect magic.
Pretty much, tool-centric teams expect one model, like ChatGPT, to do everything. System-centric teams map specific tools to specific workflows based on what they're naturally good at.
Right. But Charlie Saunders issued a massive warning here. He said we have to stop using probabilistic AI for deterministic tasks.
Yes. Such an important distinction.
Like if a simple Salesforce logic rule can update a campaign status from registered to attended, do not waste AI tokens on it. The AI might guess right 99 times, but on the 100th time, it hallucinates a totally weird status.
Right. So why are so many teams getting this wrong? It comes down to the human adoption gap.
Right.
Ryan Staley asked this incredibly sharp question, who owns Tuesday at 10 a.m.?
What does that mean? Like Tuesday morning.
He means who is the specific human dedicated to making sure the sales team actually logs in and uses the new AI workflow at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. The tech works, but enterprises lack a specific role for behavioral change.
Ah, so without that, the licenses just gather dust. Well, John Millard pointed out that there's also a capability ceiling with legacy marketing automation platforms, you know, MAPs like Older Marketo or HubSpot setups. He said bolting AI onto a 15-year-old lead-centric, rules-based foundation is just paving the cow path.
It's the perfect metaphor. You're just taking a winding, inefficient dirt trail and covering it in concrete. You can travel a terrible path slightly faster, but it's still a terrible path.
Right. Legacy platforms were built around single email addresses. B2B buying today is complex account committees and real-time signals.
Which is why an AI-native architecture has to be what developers call headless. The back-end data is completely decoupled from the front-end interface, so the AI can freely pull from your CRM, website, and billing software all at once.
So it's not restricted by a rigid software menu. It can actually coordinate actions across the entire buyer journey.
Exactly. And Michelle Tate really brought this home. She said the next advantage won't come from using AI to accelerate old workflows. It's going to come from building entirely new agentic operating models.
We have to completely rebuild the workflow.
We do. And that leads perfectly into a final thought for you to mull over, drawing on some great insights from Konstam and Dornrada. AI isn't just a new tool to bolt onto the marketing department. It is the new operating system of growth.
Yeah, that's a powerful way to look at it.
The real competitive edge belongs to the CMOs who realize that the new AI playbook isn't going to be written by the software vendors. It's going to be written by the teams right there in the trenches who are brave enough to rethink their entire customer journey.
Absolutely. Well said. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, and don't forget to subscribe. See you next time.